In the meantime, as you know, a controversial measure that would expand Medicaid health coverage to more than 400,000 Michigan citizens passed the state Senate last night. Passage came after months of contentious debate between a bipartisan coalition of Democrats and Republicans on one side and the GOP's right wing, which held out for various reasons. Those included funding concerns and an alleged lack of personal responsibility in the measure, the bill's connection to the federal Affordable Care Act, and others. In the end, a measure narrowly passed around 8:30 p.m. last night, and here to help us understand what happened and what lay ahead, Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta. Hi, Rick.
Good morning.
Recap a little bit of the heart of what happened.
Sure.
Last
night. It was really a political drama playing out on the floor of the Michigan Senate. That, you know, as you might recall, that this bill was sent to the Senate months ago by the State House with a perception that it was going to pass quickly, and it did not. Instead, what happened was over the summer, the Senate worked on the bill, and then finally it came up for a vote yesterday. Remember, you know, Governor Snyder famously came back from an overseas junket and told the Senate, vote on it now, take a vote, not a vacation. Well, you know, the day finally arrived. It was here. The Medicaid expansion was up for a vote, and then it failed by one vote. But it didn't just fail by one vote. One senator, one Tea Party senator, Patrick Kolbeck, withheld his vote so that it was to deny the Senate an actual tie that could be broken by the lieutenant governor, who said that if it came down to it, he would vote for it. So everything came to a stop. A motion was quickly made to reconsider the bill, and then the Senate went into recess. And at that point, you know, sort of one of two things, you know, might have happened. The Senate Republicans could have gone in behind closed doors to work it out amongst themselves. Or what actually happened was everyone hung out while the Governor Snyder started talking to Senate Republicans, and it wound up focusing pretty quickly on one person, which was Tom Casperson from the Upper Peninsula, who came out, switched his vote, and then the Medicaid measure passed.
And they hit 20 votes after appeasing Senator Casperson to change his vote. How exactly did they appease him?
Well, it was a seemingly innocuous amendment. What it did was it capped the fees, the rates that hospitals could charge uninsured people. It compared it to the Medicare rate, and it does seem a little bit innocuous, especially since one of the purposes of the Medicaid expansion, Obamacare, is just to make sure that you know, everyone is covered. But, you know, let's also keep in mind that, you know, Casperson is a pretty shrewd legislative player, and he has got a lot of things, and he's worked with the governor before on some things like mass transit for Southeast Michigan. He's got a lot of things for the Upper Peninsula in the pipeline, and I would not be at all surprised if maybe some understandings were reached on some of those.
Was this effort, I'd like to back up on this this activity involving Senator Kolbeck, was this an effort in the end to further stigmatize the lieutenant governor, which we've heard an awful lot about recently with Wes Nakagiri's apparent attempt to run for lieutenant governor next year?
To challenge him next year at a convention, yeah.
And Kolbeck wanted to, was it this an effort to stigmatize the lieutenant governor as a guy who supported Medicaid expansion?
I think if they were going to do that, they would have actually had him cast the tiebreaker if it appeared that the expansion was inevitable.
Okay.
But I think that, I mean, Brian Kelly had already been out there actively supporting it on behalf of the administration. He said last week on statewide TV, on the Off the Record program, that if it came to a tie vote, that he would break the tie. So he was already identified with it. If there is a political price to pay, I think that he already had basically assumed that debt.
Okay. We need to remember that this bill goes back to the Michigan House before it can go to Governor Snyder's desk.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
Assuming this clears the House and is signed into law, the date the measure would take effect is a pretty hot topic. Can you help us understand that?
It is. There is a usually, although not always, it's been kind of controversial in recent years. There is a somewhat obscure technical provision in the Michigan Constitution, and it's there to make sure that people and businesses do not have laws foisted upon them without time to get ready. And what it says is that no law takes effect until 3 months, 90 days after the end of a legislative session. It usually puts it into spring of the following year, unless by supermajority votes, the House and the Senate vote to suspend it. It's pretty routinely done when you want to have a law take effect, well, in the case of the Medicaid expansion, on January 1st. So what that means is without that vote, that supermajority vote on immediate effect, that's what it's called, then the Medicaid expansion does not start on January 1st. Instead, it starts sometime in the spring, depending on when the legislature actually adjourns for the year. And what's at stake is, I mean, you know, the numbers are kind of fluid, but, you know, maybe $630 million if 3 months go by without Michigan in the Medicaid expansion. And that's money, you know, out of the $2.5 billion that Michigan is supposed to get from the federal government for the expansion next year. And that's money that Michigan would never recover, that the way that the federal health care law is crafted, that it starts on January 1st, and every day, every week, every month that goes by that a state doesn't collect the money, you don't get it back at the other end. And so that's what the administration is concerned about, and that's what they're going to spend the coming weeks and months, you know, working on, that even after this is done, we may not see a quick bill signing by Governor Snyder, even though he's got 14 days, because they've got to deal with this immediate effect issue.
And that has got a lot of Democrats pretty riled up.
Well, you know what? It's Democrats provided the majorities to make this happen in both the House and the Senate. They can't do it with these immediate effect votes.
Now, was the immediate effect vote, is that a separate vote?
That is a separate vote. And you might remember that there was a controversy, even a lawsuit on the state House side over just gaveling it on, not doing an official roll call count. Now, what courts have ruled is the legislature doesn't have to. So seemingly, we could have just sort of an unofficial count and someone just goes, yeah, it looks like enough, bang, it's done. But that's not typically the way the Senate works. And so, like I said, that's going to be the drama that's playing out in you know, coming weeks, which is trying to figure out a way to get the Senate to that immediate effect vote so that the Medicaid expansion can begin on the 1st of January.
Now, would it have to go back to the Senate in order for that to happen?
Yes.
Yes, it would.
Yes,
okay.
It would.
There was some concern in recent weeks that the measure...
And it's got to be done before the governor signs it into law.
Okay. There was some concern in recent weeks that the measure might be changed so much in the Senate that it would jeopardize Democratic support in the end.
The
a
Democrats,
non-factor?
It would be very hard for Republicans to come up with something so heinous that they would not support some version of the Medicaid expansion, at least, you know, in hopes that, you know, once it's on the books, then you could go back later and deal with some stuff. But
and how do you expect this will unfold when it goes back to the House?
Well, there are actually some hard feelings because when the House voted on this some number of months ago, there was the expectation, maybe even the understanding, that the Senate would vote on it very quickly. And so a lot of those House Republicans who made a tough vote on the Medicaid expansion feel hung out to dry. That said, once this passed, House Speaker Jace Bolger did put out a statement praising the work, calling what the Senate had produced an improvement over what the House had adopted. And so I think we can expect that the House will approve this. But as we've seen with this issue in particular, that, you know, being prepared for the unexpected is not unwise.
We're talking with the Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta about the Senate's Michigan Senate's passage of Medicaid expansion last night. Majority Leader Randy Richardville appeared to be quite the man in the middle all day yesterday. I was struck so much by photos of him on one hand conferring with his Democratic counterpart, Gretchen Whitmer of East Lansing, and then with conservative Republican Senator Patrick Patrick Colbeck.
Mm-hmm.
This was. How does Richardville feel about the Medicaid expansion? Which version of this was he most on board with?
He was always on board with some version of the Medicaid expansion. That much was agreed upon. And there was no version of the Medicaid expansion that was ever going to bring Patrick Colbeck and you know, a majority of other Republicans on board. You know, what they needed to do was just get enough Republicans on board to get it across the finish line and get enough Republicans to agree that the bill ought to come up for a vote at all, because that's really what held all of this up, was that a majority of the majority caucus, a majority of the Senate Republican caucus, wasn't behind it. And the Senate typically operates under what's called the Hastert rule. It's named for a former Speaker of the U.S. House who, you know, sort of went public with this idea that we don't do anything unless a majority of the majority party in the chamber is with it.
And quickly, Rick, an election next year. Talk to us about the whatever political significance this will have a year from now.
Well, we know that in at least one case, a Tea Partier has announced a primary run against Senator Jeff Hansen from Northwest Michigan. It won't be the only one. And Rick Snyder has now got some obligations to do what he can, if he can do anything, to maybe help some Senate Republicans who stuck with him to survive primary challenges.
The Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta, who was at the state capitol last night in the Senate. Thanks very much, Rick.